irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Keith Reza with Alan Lee.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and then we also have Theo Manhattan.
Hey, great to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
Theo was here to do the Facebook Live stuff because our Facebook Live guy called out sick. And Theo came in and he won third place in LA's Funniest.
That was a crazy night.
Yeah. Our guest. Yeah, I do got to rush this a little because we're running late. Started the show late. Yeah, our guest is also stuck in traffic. You guys have seen him, Comedy Central, the hit show Situs. And he has a new movie out called, what was it? It was Hot Special, right? Mm-hmm. I have the notes right here.
I hope that's what it is.
No, I was. I just I didn't see the movie.
Oh.
Yeah. How come you didn't write the... It's a great movie. Okay, anyway, so we have the great Christopher Titus here, and he's performing at the Irvine Improv this weekend, so we're going to give him a call and buzz him in. All right, I'm calling him. Let me introduce you before...
You know what? You do what...
Hello.
Hey, Chris. It's Keith.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. I can't apologize enough. Let's do like a 10-minute thing, and then I'll come in next week. I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh,
I'm so fucking sorry.
No worries.
I had this like nagging thing in my back of my head. I was like, I have something, and I this audition came up, and I'm like, I gotta go. And fuck, sorry. I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, it's okay. What time's your audition at?
It's gonna be, well, this one's not till 12:40, but I'm on my way and I'm still rehearsing, so just give me a couple minutes and then I'll come in and I'll do a whole show for you guys.
Oh, okay. Well, what, you want to just do a whole show next time? If it's, I didn't realize it was at 12:40. Why don't you go over your lines?
Do me a favor. Just let me get on and do 5 minutes where, like, yeah. I apologize and you guys can run that and make fun of me.
No, I don't want to make fun of you. I love you too much and respect
you. No, yeah, you do.
Much.
I would. Come on. Let me say something so you people aren't pissed.
Okay. Oh, no. But you're performing at Irvine Improv this weekend, so we wanted to plug that and tell the folks to come.
I know, I'm a douchebag. Are we on now?
Yeah, we're on now.
He's crying.
Okay, so let me apologize, first of all. So I do this once in a while, and it's weird. I'm creative, and my brain doesn't work that well, as my wife always says. If I'm writing a script, it's great. I'm writing jokes, I'm focused. If I'm on Twitter trying to stop guns in America, I am up everybody's ass. Man, sometimes I just miss stuff, and I apologize. So I will come in next week. I will do an entire hour-long show, whatever you guys want. Do you guys only do on Fridays?
Well, I'm actually in school, so like I do it when I'm available. And you know, I knew you were available in Irvine this week, so that's why I did it. But
all right, so here's what we'll do.
All right.
Well, next time, so you're gonna cut school, and I'll cut work, and we'll go do this.
Okay.
Next week.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm doing the new show in Irvine this week. Down at the Improv, and it's funny, man. Marageddon finally got to a place where, you know, dude, it was the hardest show I've ever had to write. This one, because you know, it was political and it was talking about like the president and people that loved the president in January, last January. Thank God, don't love him anymore. They don't a year ago January, because as he started screwing up, the show got funnier.
Yeah.
Like people would accept the jokes, you know. So it was interesting that if he was a good president, I think the show would have been killed a long time ago.
Ah, well.
The material writes itself.
Yeah, but there's, you know, I think Patton said it too. There's too much of it. At one point, you're just like, stop. I don't want this much comedy, you know? Because honestly, my last joke may be about incoming missiles. That's what I'm scared of.
Ooh.
Well, it could have been about Hillary Clinton, too. She had won.
What?
I said, if Hillary had won, there'd be material there as well.
Well, you gotta forgive Alan. Alan's not on the political side here right now.
Oh.
But Chris, I saw your is he still there? Chris,
are you here?
Oh, Chris, I saw your tweet.
Well, you guys really sound like you're on your game today.
Well, we were stuck in traffic too, so we thought we were gonna run late. And then when we got here, I was like, "Oh, is Titus here?" They're like, "Oh no!" So I was like, "So that's why I called you." You know, I don't like calling people, but I figured.
Just so you know,
yeah,
I'm a punk-ass bitch for missing this, and I apologize.
No, you're awesome. Chris,
would you be willing to make a public apology on Facebook and saying you're and start it off saying you're a punk-ass bitch? Would you mind?
Yeah. Not at all. Just do me a favor. Hit me on my go to my website. Hit me on the contact page, or well, you guys got my email. Yeah. Hit it there or something, or just hit me in. I will apologize. I am a punk ass bitch for missing this today. I will be on next week or the week after, whenever we work it out.
All right. Well,
could your new special actually be called Punk Ass Bitch?
That sounds like a good title.
That's funny. I missed Razor Riffs or something.
Punk ass Razor Riffs.
Yeah. But, Chris, I did want to say one thing before I let you go. I loved your tweet about when you said, I used to like Demi Moore. I thought that, like,
because
I'm going through a lot of, you know, like, I have bad depression right now, and that tweet actually really made me laugh because that was just so funny.
I'm sorry, man. Did you see the one I did about if you had to date Dana Loesch or Tommy Lauren? How would you kill yourself? It got retweeted like 2,000 times. I was like, all right, that's a good one.
Well, Chris.
All right, gentlemen.
We're going to let you go, buddy.
I'm a punk ass bitch. You guys can call me a punk ass bitch until I'm on the show. I'm fine with that.
Oh, no.
In fact, go on my Twitter. Hit me on Twitter and just go, hey, Titus, just call us. He apologized for missing our show. He's going to do it next week. But he said he's a punk. He wanted everyone to know that it was his fault. He's a punk ass bitch.
Oh.
And I will retweet it. I'll be like, yes, I'm a punk ass bitch.
I'll never say that, man. I love you too much. But I want to go to
Urban. Man, I want you to say it. By the way, the only reason I'm giving you permission is because I love you too and I fucked up. I'm one of those guys, man. When I blow it, I own it. Because then it's over. We can get on to the next thing.
Nice.
And no, it's not my fault. No, it is my fault. Totally my fault. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, it's fine. But I want to go see you at Irvine this weekend. So I'll see you there.
Oh, you got, yeah. Are you, when are you coming?
I was thinking about the 10 o'clock show tonight or the 8 o'clock show tomorrow.
Right, 8 o'clock show tomorrow. You want me to put you down for 8 o'clock show tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. That would be cool.
Okay, so spell your last name.
Reza, R-E-Z-A. They know
it's
me.
Same.
Yeah, I just say
I know, but it's not like, I thought it was like, sometimes you think people like, my name's, you know, it's a nickname. I don't have a nickname, but I mean, so
yeah.
All right, so I'll put you down for... you want first show tomorrow or you want the second show tonight? What did you say?
Either one.
What do you want?
Yeah, I got a show tonight, but I could head out after for the second show.
No. I'll put you down for first show tomorrow.
All right.
There'll be two for Reza for first show tomorrow.
All right, cool, Chris. I'll see you tomorrow, man.
See you guys. Apologize. I'll see you soon.
All right, I love you,
great
buddy.
Great talking to you, Chris.
Yeah. Take it easy, guys. And again, apologies. No, I'm such a dick. Fuck ass bitch.
It's all good.
P-A-B. Bye.
All right. So Chris is a punk-ass bitch.
He said it himself.
He did say it. And we got to have him. But you know what? It all works out because we have Theo here.
I'm like an accidental guest.
So we got Theo.
A very funny guy.
Yeah, a very funny guy. But
I'm usually not a punk-ass bitch.
But if you think about Theo, this is going to help your career because Chris is going to tweet that he's a podcast bitch, right? And you're going to get like a million followers.
All right. I can't even get a quarter of a million.
Yeah.
We were just talking.
Well, I can't even get 0.25 followers, yeah. It seems.
For the folks at home, we should probably explain. This show is running a little late because Alan Lee and I were stuck in traffic. And then so was our guest. But I guess he's stuck in traffic on audition and his schedule got messed up.
I don't know where people are going.
Yeah. So, but...
You know what it was?
Theo. Hold on, I got to introduce Theo, because Theo is the new guest now.
I'm Christopher Titus, stand-in.
Yeah, he's the stand-in for Titus.
All that background work paid off.
Oh, there you go.
All
your background work, I'll get you.
So,
Keith, I want to say it was really fantastic to finally play a show with you.
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
First, we got to still talk about the story, and then we'll introduce you.
Okay, cool. I'll just shut up.
So I called Titus because I was like, oh, Titus is usually on time, you know, and he's like, oh, man, I'm stuck in traffic, and I thought he said that his audition was at 1, and then, like, we called him, he's like, oh, it's at 12:40, and I was like, oh, well, we could just do it another time because, like, you want to audition, you know, go over those lines. So I asked Theo last night at the show, I was like, hey, our Facebook Live guy can't come in. You want to do it since you live right here? He's like, sure, you going to feed me?
Oh, like, yeah.
It's like, what am I, your mom or something?
Yeah.
So I said, sure. So Theo's here, right? Titus is not. So this is like a blessing in disguise for Theo.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Honestly, with this promotion, I don't even need to be fed.
Yeah. That's one. So in a way, Titus might have, like, you know,
Titus, thank you so much.
Yeah, he might have punked ass bitch the show, but he saved me $10 on food for Theo.
Oh yeah, I can just make myself orange chicken now at home.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying, Alan?
I like orange chicken.
Yeah,
Chris Titus gave me a spot on a radio show, basically.
Yeah,
thank you, Chris Titus. You're amazing.
Exactly.
That's show business.
See, that's helping comics out.
And vicariously too, like it, but, again, accidental guest.
But we should talk about Theo now, because it's now the Theo hour.
The O hour.
The Theo hour, right?
Oh. Yeah, I'm an open book for an hour. So
yeah, he's an open book for an hour ago.
Not too many people read, so it's actually good to be.
Not too many people read, Alan Lee. Not too many people.
I do.
Well, let's give Theo like a proper introduction.
Okay.
You want to?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Do you know anything about Theo?
I know that Theo.
Oh, he's right here.
Good introduction, guys.
I do say one thing I know about Theo. Theo did win because LA does this comedy contest every year called LA's Funniest. And Theo came in third place last night.
I want to say I got third in the junior category, the two and under.
Oh, yeah, you got third in the
junior. I was not two. The headliner category, yeah. But for me to still place was still an honor.
Yeah.
It was an the lineup was incredible.
Yeah, he came in third place out of three, so he destroyed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the... And I want to say that the two and under was 2 years old and under, so I had to play to a bunch of infants.
Oh, no.
No, but he did a great – he did awesome. And like Theo was saying, it's the first – I did a show with Theo a few years ago, but I haven't seen him since.
You know, last time I saw you at a club, besides just saying hello, was a –
Was that Titus?
No.
No, it's not.
It was his bill collector.
Actually, that's a good point.
But I saw you at the Laugh Factory showcase 2 years ago when we were both trying for that. How'd that showcase go?
They've never... The Laugh Factory is weird, man. They pass you, and then they never... You send in your availabilities. They never hit you up. And then I had a manager, and they never hit him up. I think a lot of the clubs didn't like my manager for some reason. Maybe, like, he was too, not comedy survey, you know what I mean?
He was more like a...
Acting and writing and all that stuff.
There's so many of those already.
But, I mean, Alan's making, like, faces like I'm saying something wrong. Don't worry, this episode probably won't be deleted or something.
No, don't delete it. I already made it this far. Titus gave me his blessing for not having a deleted episode.
There you go. I have no problems.
I'm not having Titus be a punk-ass bitch for me to lose that on this episode, Keith.
But yeah, I mean, I do got to go back, but it's just so hard because, like, I've been doing comedy for so long, and I'm, you know, you wait in line for 7 hours or whatever to get 2 minutes, and then you got to hope Jamie's there, you know what I mean? And it's just, there's so many politics to it, and I don't like the politics in comedy. I really don't.
Jamie Massaro is a flip of a coin. He's a, like, you can't really expect him to be. And there's people camping out for hours.
Yeah.
Tents
we all have,
and...
We all have.
Yeah. People bring lawn chairs to the Laugh Factory.
That's right.
That's true. I've actually seen it, though. Like, you and I did, we've done, yeah.
We get food.
Do you remember that one guy?
It's a picnic. We go to the El Pueblo Loco.
Do you remember that one guy when we were waiting in line and this guy came and he's like, hey, I'll give you $100 if you save my spot. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
$100 to save?
Yeah.
$100.
So we're like,
easy.
I was like, okay, I'll do it, right? And then we save, he comes back, literally, like, me and Alan, we waited the entire day. He comes back at like 6 when the sign-outs comes up. He's like, thanks for saving my spot. We're like, cool, you got the $100? He's like, Oh, I was kidding about that.
Kidding? Yeah, no.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I was like, what a douchebag.
And he comes just like what? Just as we're going in, yeah. We've been there for at least...
Well, you know, it's right off Sunset, so you could have pushed him into the traffic. There's a lot of right turns.
That's right there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I would have been...
dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a guy one time, a homeless guy, walk into the street and just lay down.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. I was waiting my turn in line.
Yeah. No.
I see a guy just get into the middle of by the gas station, just lay down in the street and screaming at people. Yeah. Wow. You're not going anywhere. F you, you.
And you know they would sign him up.
Oh, easily. He'd be the first one.
Oh, yeah.
It turned out he was a Greenblatt's employee. They're like, I can't stand the Rubens here anymore.
That's right.
That's pretty funny.
Greenlands is right there.
So Theo, let's get more info about you. You've been doing comedy for 2 years or under.
Yep.
And you won third place in LA's Funniest.
Yep.
Right? How many rounds and how many comedians did you have to beat out to get that?
So it's for anyone that's not too familiar, they do the preliminary and semifinals at Sal's Comedy Hole, which is on Melrose. It's an extraordinary place. It's an Italian restaurant with it has a club in the back of the restaurant. Dante, and I hate to say it, I still don't know how to pronounce his last name.
It's Dante
Ruscioli.
I just call him Dante.
I feel like a lot of people gave up the same way, too. So.
Yeah.
He doesn't say his last name.
No, he's just Dante.
But he has so many Facebooks.
Dante the comic.
So,
he had a great room here at the Canoga Bowl. It was a bowl now. You recall that?
Oh, yeah.
I think Tamo ever went down there.
Probably.
Yeah. You do have Tamo features. Has anyone ever told you that?
I don't want people to think that.
They're actually brothers.
Not at all.
What?
They're brothers.
No.
You don't see the features? They have the long hair.
No.
Just a style.
They have the...
Chris Titus would agree that I do not have Talmo features.
No, I agree with Titus. I don't feel it's anywhere near like Talmo.
See, now you're outnumbered, Keith. Yeah. There's three people.
I will say one thing is I will feel terrible if Titus didn't get this part. Because, like, if God's punishing him for making a mistake. You know what I mean? That would be terrible.
Well, Titus?
And, like, you know, we're, like, calling him a punk-ass bitch, which I don't like because I love Titus, but, like, he's like,
That's a self-given title. Yeah.
He said he used it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But, like, what? Like, I would just feel terrible. Like, I hope he doesn't tell me. You know what I mean? Like, I hope he keeps it to himself, like.
This is probably the first podcast I've ever been on where the guest didn't show up, but the whole show we're talking about the guest wasn't there. So it's like he's still here.
Yeah.
He's here in spirit.
Oh, I'm trying to, like, move it towards you, but you're dodging the questions.
But here's the thing. The contest, we're moving it back.
Yeah.
The segue.
You're like a little dat fam. I ask you a question, you'll be like, you turn to the next question.
Well, that's why I'd be a good politician. Yeah. But the contest, the preliminaries were back in November, and this was the 14th annual contest.
The 14th.
We've had names like Jezelnik winning the headliner category.
Jezelnik.
Kramer, Glickman.
Anthony Jezelnik for the folks at home.
And you know what? Joey Gaynor judged that year when Jezelnik won.
Yeah?
And the prize was, at the time, Chris Rock tickets at the amphitheater.
What?
Yeah. Which, I mean, your prize to win a contest is to see somebody else. It's not really the...
But it's Chris Rock.
It's Chris Rock.
One of the prizes this year, Alan, was the prize to open up for Shang.
What, in Washington State?
Yeah.
Really?
Free hotel room, $225 cash.
Not bad.
And you just had to get there yourself, which isn't too bad.
Bad.
The preliminary rounds this year, there were a lot of headliners. There weren't too many two and unders, so I managed to... The thing was, Ron Jeremy judged, so a lot of the people I went up against, they wanted to do a bunch of dick jokes and coming everywhere. So
he probably gets enough of that.
But Ron Jeremy hears so much of that, so I just went up there, did my thing, and... I got first place for that one, right? And then the other two, The other people I faced were women and talking about dildos and such, so they were pretty disappointed. But Ron Jeremy didn't like my dildo jokes? Yeah, I mean, because
Ron Jeremy likes jokes about ladies when they talk about, you know, the stuff that's like the... Not the dildo. You know?
Right. Like they want the real.
They want the real. Like Ron Jeremy's like, I'm interested.
Yeah, he was a judge. There were 10 judges that night.
Was he a judge when you went up, Keith?
This year or last year?
Whatever year. I mean, not this year.
No, Ron wasn't at the finals. There were 28 judges?
Yeah.
28?
28 to 30.
And I would, yeah, and I would only call maybe five of them judges.
I only had to bribe a few of them for like, for the win.
Like, here's the thing, like,
28.
Alan doesn't really agree on this, but I agree as a comic, regardless if you're a headliner or a feature or opener or whatever, if you're available, you should do every single contest. Because here's the thing. It trains you for a late night set. That 2 minutes that you did to win the crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You came in third place out of hundreds of comedians.
It's not an easy
feat. Okay? And 2 years or under or whatever.
Yeah.
And you only got 2 minutes. So each round you did, that trained you. So like if someone says, and you auditioned for like Conan or something, you know, you say, you know what? It's just like the contest. I do what I did. You know what I mean?
Contests train you for Conan and TV.
It really does. They train you for that because you got to stick to your time.
That's a good point.
You got to get an audience to fall in love with you. So I love contests. I love doing them. I hate losing them. I'm very bitter.
I mean, you'd have to be a masochist to like losing them.
Yeah.
But I'm only in contests to lose them. If I win, then I hate everything.
Yeah.
Well, I felt great going up there. Usually, you know, you get wrecked by nerves and you're like, well, there's all these people at the pressure. But this time I just said, you know what? I'm going to take these nerves and I'm going to judo flip them. And I'm going to just go, ah!
He's going to judo flip them. That's a good line. So, Theo, tell Alan some of your stand-up. Tell Alan your set last night.
Well, I had about five to six jokes.
I got to interrupt you for 1 second. Alan is going to be a judge.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was this a trap to get me to do a set?
No. Go. Action.
Oh, no, just...
So I did joke. I went up there. I said, hi. I did joke number one. Okay. And then I got an applause break. Then I did joke number two.
I like that one.
And then I think that was an applause break as well. Then I did a setup, which, you know, they kind of caught on to that bit of a lull. But then I broke in with the next joke.
Oh, I like that.
And that got an applause break.
Beautiful.
No more applause breaks after that until I said bye, but big laughs. And then I did a few more jokes.
Yeah.
I think I did like a twist and a turn at a time.
Oh.
Like a WWE Randy Orton kind of thing.
You know what? Wrestling analogy, love it. Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah, he's still incredible. I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
You didn't know this, that?
No, I didn't.
I could tell just by his hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have wrestling hair. You have, like, Sting hair.
It's true. It's damn true.
No, Sting's also the singer, but Sting was also, like, a WWE wrestler.
Imagine Sting the singer being a wrestler.
Oh, yeah. That would be wild.
Yeah. Don't stand so close to me. Oh!
Who's your favorite wrestler?
Favorite wrestler, definitely AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. Now, is it because of his talent or because of his name?
Well, his name is...
Pretty cool.
Well, no, I'd say it's a lot to be desired, really, but his charisma...
AJ? That's a cool name.
That's a great name.
Well, yeah.
Last name Styles?
Like
Styles.
Yeah.
Let me do your wardrobe.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
My favorite is Mankind.
Mankind is a... You know what? Mick Foley's playing the Ice House on the 20th. He's doing...
What?
It's called 20 Years in Hell.
You're kidding.
I'm dead serious.
Which one's Nick... Was he the guy with the long hair?
The little hand.
Mr. Sacco.
Was he at the show last night?
No, there was a guy. There was a homeless guy that looked like him.
Yeah, I thought that. I was like, that guy looks famous.
I was like, is that Mick Foley? But then it was just a guy that was leering.
That's the guy I'm thinking of. Yeah, Mick Foley.
Yeah, he was Mankind and Cactus Jack.
Yes, Cactus Jack.
But he's going to be at the Ice House on the 20th, wow, just talking wrestling stories.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Hopefully, they bring in the steel cage and have him jump off and dislocate himself again.
Are you going to go to that?
I considered it because Joey is also a huge fan. Joey Gaynor, for those of you
Joey Gaynor is your mentor.
Yeah, mentor and best friend. He's
and best friend.
He knows Titus as well.
He knows Titus as well. Yeah. Wow.
I wanted to say hi to Titus for him, but Titus was in a hurry, and I didn't want to, like, Joey who? I didn't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a punk ass isn't going to stay around.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I've been a wrestling fan. It's actually a newfound love for me.
You know what? I'm going to say it's my same situation. I have a writer friend, and he just loves wrestling. Okay, and he kept inviting me over, and I wasn't really into it. You know?
Yeah.
God, I cannot believe how into it I am now.
I always thought it was. I was like, you know, it's fake. It doesn't seem really cool. But then I got into this. It's like an adult soap opera.
Oh, it's a
you get way into it.
The backstories on these things and what they're doing and the psychological things that are going on.
They're doing real moves. They're getting hurt.
They're like super stuntmen. I mean, I can't believe the stuff they did.
You know, my friend, he's a wrestling coach. You actually know him too. He did the show. We're talking about Jay Moore.
And he was a wrestler.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Jay. Wow. Jay's a wrestling coach. It's like,
that's right.
After we did the show, you know, he's like, let me tell you, he like takes out his phone. He's like, Keith, Alan, come here. And we look at his phone. He's like, we got all these dudes wrestling. And Alan's like, oh my God, this is cool. I was like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, what I think is pretty wild is how many comics are into wrestling.
Yeah.
And the other way around.
Yeah. That's a,
yeah, yeah.
I think it has to do with like the charisma and the show of it.
Right.
When they're coming out like, yeah.
The funny thing about it is like my friend was pointing out, you know, when they're doing interviews before they go up, you know, before they perform, they are kind of comedic. They're doing like, you know, some of them are doing routines.
Funny promos
funny promos and, you know, kind of trying to joke, you know, promote themselves. They come off comedic.
They do.
And they put the punch in punchline. They're throwing people around.
Right.
Have you guys had any wrestlers on the show yet?
We
haven't. No.
You guys could get a Diamond Dallas Page on there. You could
Dallas Page. I ain't heard of him.
He's always doing comedy.
He does comedy too. Yeah. That's
the Snake Roberts.
That's right.
I was thinking Jake the Snake, not Diamond.
But
Dallas.
Diamond does. Right.
Jake the Snake.
But Diamond does comedy too.
They do comedy. Yeah.
I'd probably say no to Jake the Snake only because I don't like snakes.
Well, you could always say leave the snake outside, close the door.
Snakes are the only animal that actually really scare me. Like, I'm so terrified of snakes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's like if someone, like, whenever I talk to someone, they say, I have a pet snake, I say, okay, don't ever talk to me again.
What's worse for you, snakes or eye contact?
I would definitely say snakes.
Okay.
Because, eye contact's pretty bad, but I think I'm good with eye contact with people I know. Like, I know you guys.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know random people, but, like, snakes I would, like, it's weird, because, like, eye contact, I'd be high on anxiety and, like, you know, stuff like that. Snakes, I would be in fear of my life. So I think that's totally...
Most of us would do
that. Yeah. Like, have you ever seen a giant anaconda?
Yes. Luckily, not in person.
Yeah.
Only photos.
I saw this movie, and they ate a dude.
Oh, my God, yeah.
No, you know what? I saw there was this Animal Planet documentary they were doing. Or it was either that or National Geographic. And this guy was going to go, I'm going to get in an iron suit, and I'm going to have them live film me as I get devoured by an anaconda. So they have all the cameras locked in. He's in the iron suit. He looks like a Don Quixote kind of character. But it's like a 3-hour documentary, first off.
Yeah.
So you're like, this has to be good. This is going to be great. The first 2 hours are just set up. It's like in... Oh. like Chris Angel shows where they're like, he may never survive this magic trick again.
Oh.
So 2 hours of just interviews and like, how is he going to swallow and this and that? The snake is sure. Stat. And then the last hour, they actually do it. And you get like a quarter of the way through the guy, and the guy's like, wait, stop, no, get me out. So they have to get the whole team to get him out. He didn't even get fully swallowed. It was just a large buildup for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gross.
Like, really? That's what you got? 3 hours for that?
Yeah.
I can't get that back.
Setup. 2 hours.
2 hours setup. It's like having
a 1 hour punchline.
Exactly. And no punchline either. It was like a big 2 hour open mic joke.
That's
for
why we don't have snake routines.
Alan.
You know, you recall a time when in high school guys had those little anacondas and they would actually keep them until they grew to a certain level, but they would bring them to scare the girls and they would have them wrapped around their arm.
Right.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
But they couldn't keep them until they grew. To full size, obviously.
Yeah.
Why do you want a killer pet in the first place?
I understand. And you're not gonna
know.
Keep it. You're not going to keep it.
Yeah. Alan, last night at the show, I was with Theo hanging out. And Theo.
Here comes here comes
the blueberry. Wait, why are you guys looking at me?
Because we were talking about that earlier. Go on.
No. I was just going to say, what?
No, go on, finish.
I was just going to say, Theo said lovely things about you, and I wanted Theo to share those compliments with you on air.
Oh, Faye, well, yeah.
We thought we were going a different way with that. We were talking before you came on.
Why does everyone think I like to play pranks on people? We don't
think that.
Well, because it's only out of love.
Yeah, it's all out of love. Yesterday, this fucker did a prank on me, man.
He pointed to me, guys.
Yeah, I pointed to Theo. So,
what prank did I pull on you?
I'm about to tell Alan Lee. God.
Okay.
So, we're at the contest, and Dante is like very, you know, if you show up late, you're not in the contest. Like, he was mad because all the comics didn't promote and stuff.
Sure.
And then Theo said, if they show up late, we should just have them go up first, you know?
And then
he points to me. He said, "Keith has a suggestion." And everyone looks at me. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Now, when Keith says that, Keith brought up the suggestion, and then he said, "Theo, you bring it up because everyone likes you more."
look at that.
See, he's lying.
You pitched it to him.
I did not. He turned it around on me.
No, you know, Keith is a rapscallion, and he's trying his rapscallion ways on me.
I haven't heard rapscallion in a long time.
You're a scallywag, my friend. You're a rapscallion slash scallywag.
I like that.
I'll tell you one thing about the contest. You guys know Felicia Michaels?
Yeah. I want to hear the story.
Oh, did I not tell you the story?
No, not fully. No.
Did I tell you this story?
No.
You're my best friend, and I didn't tell you this story.
I'm sorry. You did treat me as a best friend.
I want to hear that because Dante said he was going to bring it up, but he never did.
He never did, huh?
He never did. I want to hear Felicia Michaels. What happened?
What happened?
All this pressure on me.
Got it.
So Felicia Michaels was in the contest on the semi rounds, and you know, there's like 4 or 5 rounds, you know, for you to get to this point. And she was running late, stuck on traffic or whatever. I think everyone in LA should probably leave 3 hours before, so they don't use that
easily.
Yeah. Because you could be like 20 miles away, it could still take a long time.
Like today.
Yeah. But anyways, not to mention names, Titus. But so she was running late, right? And the comics were like, "Oh, we should kick her out of the contest." And I was like, "Why?" Like, Dante's having a thing, and I was like, "Why?" And they're like, "Well, because she's a national headliner. She won Star Search. She has a Comedy Central special. She's already successful. She doesn't need this contest. Let's kick her out and give us a chance."
Oh, she's phenomenal.
You did tell that story.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought I did. So they're like, "Yeah, let's kick her out and give us a chance." And I thought, to me, as a comic, that's a very weak reason to kick someone out. Because if you're trying to be the funniest, you should probably beat the funniest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, to me, I'm thinking, no, let her stay in and just have her go up first so she gets punishment, you know what I mean? And, and you know, but at least she has a, she still has a chance. You
Let
know?
Her be the sacrificial.
Yeah.
Sure.
She still has a chance, and she's not out. All the comments like, what are you talking about? That's Felicia Michaels. She's a national headliner. I was like, I know who she is, you know, I follow her career. She's like, yeah, you just want to be normal, trust me. I was like, whoa, that's a cheap shot. Like, so they all agreed to kick her out. Like, it was like 11 to 1, and I was the only one who stuck up for her. So then when Dante told Felicia, wait, is that her name? Felicia, that she's out, everyone was like, oh, we'll have her do a guest set. I was like, okay.
Which,
well,
that's fair.
That's fair, I guess.
But the comics decided.
Well, I suggested after they kicked her out to have her.
Keith was the one. He made it a hung jury.
Yeah.
The hung jury it was.
So she did a guest set. Dante brought her up, and she just talks 20 minutes, and she's like, I'm so glad I'm not in this fucking contest. Fuck all you guys for fucking backstabbing me and all this stuff. She just went off, and she's like, fuck you judges. Fuck this con. You know, like, it was hilarious. Everyone was laughing, and she didn't do 5 minutes. She did 15 minutes, and she's, she's like, I don't, you fucking gave me the right lay. I'm not in this.
She had nothing to lose anyway.
It was so funny. Like, literally, if she was still in the contest, she would have won just by on that set. You know what I mean?
Felicia's a shoo-in.
Oh, dude, contest. She's awesome.
Are you kidding me?
But, like, I think that it was very cowardly on all the comics that wanted to kick her out, because it's like, if you want to be, like, for example, I lost last night, and I was very disappointed. I was disappointed on lots of reasons.
I'm going to tell you, though, Keith, you still were a great comic.
I know I'm a great comic. I wasn't a great comic last night. I was a terrible comic last night.
You're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
I keep telling you.
But here's the thing. Let me explain. I want to win on my own terms, you know what I mean? Like, last year when I came in second, I lost by one vote.
That was rough.
One vote?
One vote.
Oh, my God.
And that devastated me, you know what I mean?
Because we're talking a point on the chart?
One point on the chart.
What? Do you know what category it was in? Like,
well, it was a judge category, because one of the judges didn't like
it. But do you know if it was for presence or material? Or?
It was probably for everything.
Damn.
This judge just did not like me. And I told Dante that this judge is going to give me bad grades, you know. So, you know.
And Dante probably just said, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, he said there's 28 other judges.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, and, I
you
get
know,
that.
Yeah, one so judge. So you think, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, Jose Raymond won. Jose's a great comic.
Incredible comic.
Yeah. And, you know, it was like this big thing because, you know, we fought each other in every single round. And every single round, I beat him. You know, from the, you know, and it was a big thing because it's like, you know, I open up for Norman Hotz, he opens up for Willie Barcina and Jeff Garcia, you know what I mean? So we all have that huge training, you know? So when he won, I was very proud, but I was very also devastated because, you know, I worked hard on that.
Oh, that was tough.
On this contest, I went into each round saying, okay, I won't do the good material, I'll do bad material to make it to the good material in the finals. That was my game plan. I made the finals. I was like, all right, I'm just going to blow everyone out of the water. Now, there's a lot of elements to why I struggle. I struggle when there's not good crowds. I struggle when comics do Asperger jokes before me. And this is nothing against any of the comics because it's the luck of the draw. If that's their material, great. This is a personal Keith issue, you know?
Yeah, you can't help that.
I can't help that.
What are you going to do?
Like, I can't say, hey, all you fuckers, don't say Asperger jokes.
you go, so Dante, I'm going to need you to, to go through and filter out all Asperger.
Yeah, you can do that before the show.
Yeah.
Call Dante, so you know.
Yeah, you know, you can't do that. And, you know, judge scores are judge scores, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I went after
Armando,
who's a great comic, but he had a...
I've never seen a violin comic before.
Yeah, but he had a violin. He destroyed it.
I've never seen a violin.
Yeah.
He was incredible.
He should have placed.
Sure.
But, you know, there's this whole, which I don't want to talk about, but...
You can type in Henny Young, he's a violin comic.
Yeah, yeah.
He must be an up-and-comer.
No.
Well, when I...
I think he might be dead.
Well, when I went up...
A down-and-comer.
A down-and-comer.
Well, when you go up after a musical act comic, it's the hardest thing because they take the energy from comedy and they put it in a music energy. That's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a musical flourish rather than a crutch.
Yeah, but
he didn't really depend on his music for it.
I'm not saying it was a crutch at all. I agree with you. But what I'm saying is what they do is that's what they don't do it on intentional.
It's just a way.
It's just, oh, you brought us out of stand-up. You brought us into something different.
It was just a hit in the gears, really.
Exactly. So when I drew after him, I knew just right when I drew the number, I knew. I was like, all right, I'm not going to win because I can't follow that. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, but you can't really go into your set thinking you're going to do badly.
You just have to go for it.
So, like, I had all this,
you
know.
It's like wrestling. They go into the, ring and they pull out the crowbars.
Yeah. Well, and some of them come because it's all scripted, so some of them come in knowing they'll lose that match, and that they still bring their A game.
Yeah.
You don't know that you're going to lose in comedy.
Yeah, I knew I was going to lose.
I mean, just at the end of the day.
But you won. Yeah. So you should be proud.
Third play. I was really start laying. What
you
said
You should start teaching me.
You should start. You get to open for Norman Hodge.
You should teach me because you're funnier than me.
No, I wouldn't say
that. You should teach me everything you know.
Keith, you know what I would give to have the opportunities
you have? You won't even feed Theo, so I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't get even a burrito.
Why would I feed Theo? This is now the Theo Manhattan. Is that your last name? Manhattan. Yeah, like the movie.
Burrito does sound pretty good, I'm going to be honest.
Yes, it does.
You're barking up the wrong tree here, Theo.
I'll bark up the Allen tree.
Yeah, the Allen Lee tree.
Hey, cool.
Well, we did get the light, so we have to wrap this up.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
We
got the light.
We
started late.
Boy, this is. You know,
but we also have another show.
You know what?
Oh, sorry, Al. I just wanted to say that first off, I do appreciate being on here. Second off, coming from you, Keith, for you telling you've seen me evolve over time,
right?
So for you who've been doing it 15 years,
yeah.
For you to tell me that I killed it or I'm doing well, that is a huge compliment. So thank you so much.
I don't know. I meant every word.
I hope so.
You did.
Yeah. He destroyed it.
He destroyed it.
Yeah.
But
it's more of a compliment if Alan says it.
Well, I think he did destroy it, and I was.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. That's what I'm saying. And I know he destroyed it. I've seen him before.
You've been lazy on the coming with me to shows thing.
Here's the thing. I've done maybe 400, 500 shows,
right.
And I can only say I've truly killed four times.
Oh,
I've had awesome sets, really good sets. Yeah. I've had good sets, mediocre, and maybe a few shitty.
Theo, let me give you advice as a comic. You never want to say you've killed on the radio, because they might like take that back and be like, "Oh,
well, like I said,
we know what you've done."
I've only killed four times out of 500.
Theo just totally didn't get that joke. Excellent. I like it.
You know.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we got another show. It's going to be awesome. Theo, do you have a Facebook or a Twitter so the folks at home can follow you?
I don't do Twitter, but I do Instagram and Facebook. Instagram, you can follow me at Theo Manhattan Comedy. I will follow back, depending on if you're not creepy and or worth it. And you can follow me on Facebook at Theo Manhattan.
Oh.
And that's Manhattan as in the city of New York, and Theo like Theo Huxtable.
See, isn't he such a nice guy?
Very nice guy.
Like, Theo is a nice guy. You look at Theo and you think, oh, I can't believe he came in third place.
He is a hell of a vocabulary.
Yeah, you just look adorable.
Well,
I mean, that sounds a little gay when I say it on the radio, but like,
it's hard to tell my face on the radio anyway, but
exactly. But you just look like a general good dude, and you know, you and I are friends, and you text me sometimes when I'm going through my bad phases and stuff.
Yeah.
So you got a really good heart, you know what I mean?
Thanks, Keith.
And you are funny, and you have something that, and you know, like I said, my career isn't huge or anything, but I see some good, positive talent in you.
Well, I dedicate a lot of that to not only the people that I surround myself with, but I write every day I perform almost every day.
Yeah,
like it's not even an option for me. I have to do it.
Yeah, it's like in your lungs.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
great. That's a great thing to say.
So, Alan.
Yes.
Anything you got coming up?
I've got in the next couple of minutes. We're gonna do. I have a thing where we're gonna interview Cato Kalin.
That'll be great.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Unless he's stuck in traffic,
and then he calls up saying, "I'm a punk ass bitch."
Yeah, and then we gotta be like, "Oh wait, I have to interview. I have to interview Theo again.
Double time, baby."
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Theo. You might have heard of him on the previous episode.
Theo Manhattan.
Yeah,
we were very glad to have him.
I just want to plug, in March 14th yes. through 18th, I'm going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, nice. Doing a mini tour. My March is super booked up,
ooh.
So I've got a lot. Just follow me and see what I have in store.
Ooh.
Yes.
Phoenix.
Phoenix, March. Arizona.
March 14th through the 18th.
There you go.
Excellent. Well, I'm Keith Reza. You can follow me, Reza. Keith Reza. Follow the show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reza Rift.
Subscribe, too.
Subscribe on iTunes. We do need the rates. We do need the reviews. We need as much as possible, because every time I see Sam's like, where are the ratings? You know? And we're like, gee. So we need to get 100 reviews to really help the show out. Chris Titus, love you. He's performing at the Irvine Improv this weekend. Go see him.
Who's opening for him, you know?
I don't know, but maybe he'll let me do it.
Yeah, why not?
Or you.
Why not?
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, I stepped up for you on Raise the Wrist.
Hey, he's doing me a favor doing that, to be honest. He doesn't owe me anything.
Yeah. So Titus, go follow him. We love him. I don't think he, you know, whatever. Honest mistake. People are humans. I love them. You know what I mean?
We love
him. Yeah. And then I love you, Alan Lee. I think you're great. And Theo, seriously, I love you. Thanks for being here. You really.
This was cool.
You really saved the $125.
I'm a good guy to have on a budget.
So, like, it's a good thing we didn't get this episode actually sponsored, because I'd be like, oh, Titus was there. Just Theo stepped up.
Yeah, I'm good to have as a substitute.
Yeah.
Book me.
The wingman.
As a substitute.
All right, guys. Yes. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.